ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, and welcome once again to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you the conversation with Mrs. Samantha Kamani Bhasham. If you heard the two parts that we aired on Outside Inside, Deep Inside, in the first part, she talked about how the Vibhuti Mantra was gifted to humanity, and it happened so beautifully through her. She narrated how in the early days of Bhagwan's avatarhood in the 40s, how there was no tradition of singing bhajans. The concept of Sai bhajans was still taking shape, and how in those days they used to sing only songs, devotional kritis, Carnatic songs composed by various saints, and then how Swami used to inspire them, instigate them to chant Namavalis, and how one whole Akhanda Bhajan they sang only Sai Hare, Baba Hare, and she sang for us and demonstrated to us how it was singing the same name of the Lord in different ragas, different tunes. And so that is how the Bhajan tradition began, and then how one day Swami inspired her to come up with this mantra glorifying the vibhuti that Swami all the time gifts to devotees. And then she went on to narrate stories of how Swami instilled faith in her husband and how Swami has been protecting her. And she's someone, she came to Bhagwan way back in the 40s, but now she's 83 or 84, and even now she sings so beautifully. In fact, we have had the video of the part one of conversation with her on our YouTube channel, and tomorrow we will be releasing the second part. There are a few more parts, and each part is so beautiful as you listen to her, how Bhagwan way back when she was just 10 years old, Swami had told her that as long as you are alive, you will sing. And no wonder at 82, 83, she sings so mellifluously. And as I was reading, listening to her, she mentioned about her close contemporary, Srimati Sucharita. They all belong to that group of 6 to 8 families. The same family which had Mr. Seshagiri Rao, the eldest who served as Bhagwan's pujari. Again, way back in the 40s, the ashram mandir pujari. And then you had Dr. Padmanabhan from Bangalore, who served Swami at close quarters. And then you have in the same lineage, Dr. Gita Mohan Ram. And so we had lovely stories that after Samantha Kamani Bhasham aunty narrated, I shared with you in the previous episode, in the second part of Priceless Moments of Proximity, some instances that Srimati Sucharita has written in her book Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti. Very lovely instances, takes us back to the sweetness of closeness of those times. So I thought, let us soak in some more lovely tales from this book, because these are stuff that you don't generally come across. You don't read this so often, and it's really our blessing that somebody has documented these lovely moments with the avatar. In fact, if you look at the Shirdi Sai Sacharita, what we have is only the last 10 years of Shirdi Sai which have been documented. But thanks to Bhagwan's benediction, we do have at least a few people who have put down some instances of how it was to be with Bhagwan in the 40s, and you get a glimpse of the glory that it was to be with Bhagwan in those years. So in one instance, Srimati M. Sucharita, she writes, during 50s, she says, our elders planned a trip to Parthi. She was probably 6 or 8 years old then. And it was a big group, nearly 50 to 60 members, men, women, children. They set off to Parthi and they had booked a private bus to avoid any disturbances on the way. So they had planned to stay for 3 days, and the children, as usual, were all excited and happy. They really enjoyed being with Bhagwan and singing the bhajans, and it was a lot of fun to be with Swami in those days because he was someone who was so full of mystery, so full of uncertainty, so full of magic. He can do anything at any point in time and thrill you. So the third day after they were in Prashanthi Nilayam, it was the day of their return journey, and as usual, all the members looked forward to that interview because Swami would always bless the people with a chance to be with him in the interview room before they left. So their entire group generally used to be called for this interview, and Swami would spend an hour or two. And on this occasion, once in the 50s, to the surprise of everyone, Swami chose to call only the couples one by one into the interview room. And no one had any guts to ask Swami, obviously, Swami, why are you doing this? Why are you not calling us in a group? But anyway, this was special in its own way. Swami is calling every couple individually. But the sad part was, all the children were left out. The children were totally forgotten. So the husband and wife together, one by one, they used to go in and come out with beaming faces. But all the children felt, we have not got our chance. Earlier when the elders go, the children would go and the entire group would have that lovely moment, the lovely session with Swami. So there were about 25 to 30 children, and all in the age group varying from 3 to 4 years to 15 to 17 years. And all the children, they were from kindergarten to degree classes, and some had written their 7th grade, 10th grade examination. Some were about to step into the graduation courses. So it was a children consisting of all age groups, and they were all waiting. Many were waiting for the results of their exams. And so they had all their hopes and prayers of excelling in the exams, and now they wanted so much Bhagwan to talk to them and, you know, comfort them, but here Swami was avoiding them. So it was quite a difficult thing for them, this group of 20, 25, to stomach. And so they were getting desperate that, you know, Swami is not calling us. So they thought, we need to do something. So, of course, in the ashram, you cannot really talk so much. In those days also, they used to talk only in whispers. So in sign language, they tried to communicate with each other, and they said, you know, we need to do something. You know, when Bhagwan maybe comes out, you know, we have to just rise and get his attention. So when the last couple went in for the interview, so all these children, they moved to the door and they stood with folded hands in front of the interview room. And the elders who were outside, they were not liking this plan that the students were working out. So they said, no, don't do all these things. But, you know, the children were so keen, they were so desperate to have Bhagwan for them, that they said, nothing doing, you know, it's between us and Swami, we are going to approach Swami. And so when Bhagwan came out of the interview room, after the last couple had their blessings, and Swami opened the door, and all the children are standing right in front of the door, and they're all, you know, with such prayerful hearts and deeply eager, pining eyes, they looked at Swami, and very humbly they stood there. And so the moment Swami saw them, Swami said, oh, Meekanta interview na? So you all also want interview? They said, yes, Swami, we also want interview. Please, Swami. And so then Swami called all these children inside, And he very smilingly spoke to all of them. And it was such a beautiful moment. She was saying, if only we had a camera to really preserve this moment for eternity. But it was such a lovely moment that it is etched in our minds forever, she says. So after they were there in the interview room, and so Swami closed the door. And so it was only youngsters and not a single adult there. And they were so happy to have Swami all for themselves. And then Swami told all of them to sit down. And then Swami said, okay, what do you want? Amy me Korika, what do you want? Ask whatever you want. So suddenly the children didn't know what to ask. But because the exams was there at the top of their mind, so one of them said, Swami, all of us have given our examination. We want to know, Swami, what will happen, what will be the result of our tests. So Swami then looked at all the children, and with a piercing look, actually, he saw them. And in a very affectionate way, Swami said, Bangaru, andaru pass avtaru, okkaru tappa. He said, all will pass except one. So nobody knows who is that one who is not going to make it. But, you know, so everyone also started getting worried, who will be this one? And, you know, so they had no courage to really ask Swami further. And each person was thinking, you know, why did we ask this question? You know, because this whole brought the whole mood down, actually. You know, they could have asked something else. But anyway, Swami then called all of them and gave them Padmaskar. He materialized Vibhuti. He applied the Vibhuti on her forehead, and that was the end of the interview. And once they came out, they thought, you know, we should never miss this chance like this. You know, we could have asked for something else. Why did we ask about our exams? And then Swami had this to say, you know, whatever happens, positive or negative, we should just accept, you know, whatever happens is Swami's grace. Why should we even ask him about such things? So that was one thing that the children felt, that, you know, we have missed an opportunity to be with Swami, and we did something which was probably very trivial, because Swami once had told the Suchirita's mother that Chudu Sundaramma Kalpa Vrukshamu Vachi Yeduta Nilachi Emi Kavala Ani Adigite Pichi Mandi Coffee podi adugutare, emi chestanu. The meaning is, see Sundaramma, Sundaramma is Sucharita's mom. The Swami says, see Sundaramma, when the wish fulfilling tree comes and stands before and asks what they want, foolish people ask for coffee powder. What can I do? Many times, this is what happens. Swami says, I am there to give you the highest, but you are all interested in little things. You want, my son should get a first class. My daughter should have a good health. We keep asking for little things. And here Swami is telling, it's like going to the wish-fulfilling tree, which can grant you everything, but you are asking for such silly things as a coffee powder and tea. So the children, they say that was one moment which they remember forever, because it was a very telling lesson that we should never misuse the golden chance. And after that, they never asked him for anything. The children learned that he knows what we need, and Swami will grant us in his own way. In fact, in the early 70s, Srimati Sucharita's daughter, C. Vidyulata, was studying in Rishi Valley Residential School in Andhra Pradesh. And in fact, it was Swami who had approved and blessed her to study in that school. She was a merit scholar, and she was the recipient of a Government of India scholarship. And Swami had blessed her also with a pendant of Parthisai, of Bhagwan, of his face, and Vibhuti. And before she joined the Rishi Valley school, Swami told her that your mother is only physical mother. She is there only to take care of your physical needs. But I am your spiritual mother, Swami told her. I will look after all your mental, moral, spiritual needs. Everything I will look after. And this girl, Vidyulata, she had a small photograph of Bhagwan, which she kept in her locker. And she used to pray to this photograph every day. And she also had a container of vibhuti. So every morning and evening, she would take vibhuti after doing her prayers. And this was her routine. So once it so happened that her vibhuti had got exhausted and her mother Sucharita could not send the vibhuti packets in time. And that little girl, she felt very sorry, you know, that she should have made arrangements before. And so she went to Swami's photograph and she said, "Swami, I'm very sorry that, you know, I'm not applying vibhuti today. Vibhuti is all over, but I will be careful in the future every day. After I do my prayers, I will always apply vibhuti." So in her own innocence, she prayed to Swami and sought her forgiveness for not being able to do her routine as she had been doing for so many days and weeks. In fact, she even decided to write a letter of apology to Swami. And she wrote this letter, and before concluding, she thought, "I don't know if Swami will really recognize me, because Swami sees every day so many people. Maybe he may not place me in this vast number of devotees around him." So she felt, maybe I should do something more so that Swami immediately gets my reference. So at the end of the letter, she signed as C. Vidyulata, daughter of C. Sucharita, granddaughter of Sundaramma, great-granddaughter of Seshagiri Rao. So she put her entire family lineage so that, you know, she felt with this much of introduction, Swami will get it, who is Vidyulata. And so she mailed that letter to Bhagwan. And in 3 or 4 weeks, her vacation started. So she came to Bangalore. And now she told her mom that, "I want to go to Parthi." Interestingly, good news came that Swami himself had come over to Bangalore. And Swami was in Vrindavan. So she wanted to go to Vrindavan to have Swami's darshan. And since her mother was not free, she went with her aunt, Srimati Dwarka, to have Swami's darshan. In those days, those were the days, you know, when Swami used to really walk around so much while giving darshan. Not only darshan, even sparshan, sambhashan. Swami was so free and you spent so much time with the devotees. Vidyulata and her aunt Dwarka, they were sitting in the darshan. And when Bhagawan saw them, Swami walked up to them with all love, and then Swami came and stood in front of Vidyulata, and she was so happy because she has come now. So she was so much pining to see Swami. She has come for a small vacation and she comes to darshan and Swami is coming straight to her. And then imagine what Swami tells her. Swami says, "You had sent a letter. You had sent a letter, isn't it? And thinking that I cannot place you, you wrote, as you concluded the letter, the entire family, Vidyulata, daughter of Sucharita, granddaughter of Sundaramma, great-granddaughter of Seshagiri Rao," everything Swami narrated. Obviously, Vidyulata was so overwhelmed, she just fell at Bhagwan's feet. When Bhagwan said that, "I am your mother, I am your spiritual mother," there could not have been a more telling way for Bhagwan to let her know that he indeed is there with her all the time. Even if her mother forgets to provide her vibhuti, her spiritual mother is there all the time, looking after her needs, taking care of her every little thought. And Swami continued, in fact, that day. Swami said, "People think I may not read the letters I receive, but I make it a point, as a matter of principle, to read every letter that I receive." In fact, what we do not realize is, even as we write, the letter that we use to write, the letters are also inspired by him. And there is nothing that he actually really needs to read to understand what we have written. But here was an instance where Swami is instilling that faith in the girl, that the moment you think of me, I am there, I am listening to you. If you have that sincerity every day to pray, if you have that eagerness every day to put my vibhuti, to think of me every day, I am thinking of you more. I am thinking of you with greater intensity than you are thinking of me. In fact, I am waiting to see when you will think of me. In fact, Sundaramma, Sucharita's mother, she had composed many songs during the late 40s. And in one of the songs, she says, Manasuloni marmamu telisi, mahimalu chupani, chupani vachitiva. Oh Lord, you have come to read our thoughts, to let us know the truth, and to fill us with the bliss of your glory. It is for this, Lord, this reason you came, isn't it? And there are so many such instances that she has experienced, which she has very beautifully written in this book, Sri Sathya Sai Madhurasmriti. Madhurasmriti means the sweet memories of being with the Lord. As late as 1998, an incident happened in her house. Her second daughter, Aladini, was to get married, and the wedding was to take place in November. Now Swami had approved the match and Swami had blessed Aladini too. But there was only one point of concern, and the family had somehow reconciled to that silently. The boy's family were not devoted to Swami. They were not Swami's devotees, but they were very much aware that Aladini comes from a family of devotees, and they had no objection to it. They were God-loving people. And so the family, Sucharita, was not so concerned, because she was reminded of a similar situation that happened nearly 20 years earlier in 1973, when her parents told Swami that they were rejecting the alliance for her youngest sister, Dwarka, as the boy's family were not Swami's devotees. And Swami at that point in time had explained to them what is devotion, and Swami said, today's devotees go away for one reason or the other, but at the same time, the so-called non-devotees, they come to me. So don't worry about whether someone is a devotee or not. Just see if the boy is of good character, Swami had told 20 years ago when her sister got married. So she thought about the same situation now when her daughter is getting married. She thought, doesn't matter if the boy, the son-in-law, is not a devotee. If he's of good character, then it should be fine. In fact, after her sister had got married, for a few years, her sister's husband did not go to Parthi, but later on, he also became a devotee, and he was very much part of the family whenever they were coming to Bhagwan. So, taking that as the precedent, they had felt that it is okay, let us go ahead with the marriage. In the month of August, one morning, Aladini was in the puja room and attending to her morning prayers. And she was slightly upset for the simple reason that she may not be able to take Swami's photo with her to her in-law's house after the wedding, because they don't subscribe to devotion to Bhagwan. And you know, she was so unhappy about it that she cannot really take Swami's photograph with her to her house, which is going to become her house after her wedding. And so she was filled with sadness, and in fact she called up her mom, Sucharita, and she said, you know, mom, I don't feel good that, you know, I cannot take really Swami's photograph with me. The mom did not know what to say. You know, she put on a brave face. She acted as how a mature mom would respond, and she said, see, don't worry, you have been in Swami's fold for 55 to 60 years, and you should be more concerned about following Swami's teachings than be so particular about carrying Swami's photograph. Mom said, see, instead of crying for having no photograph of Swami, what you should do is, whichever God they worship, be it Rama, Krishna, Shiva, Venkateshwara, Ganesha, does not matter. You see Swami in that photo, that is fine. Let them worship any God. Even as you see other God's pictures, you can visualize Swami. And Swami is in your heart. He's there in your feelings. Swami is not concerned with the outward photograph. Ensure that you have Swami with you in your heart. So the mother consoled the daughter in so many ways. And so Aladini wound up her prayers and she went for work, and she was at that point in time working in the Indian Institute of Plantation Management in Bangalore. After nearly 3 months, in the month of October 1998, there was a Griha Pravesham ceremony, the housewarming function in the in-laws' place, to be in-laws' place. And Aladini also went, and she had gone a little early to participate in that function. It was a grand occasion, and after the puja was over and many of the guests had left, suddenly the would-be mother-in-law, the daughter's mother-in-law, she asked Aladini, does Sai Baba come in people's dreams? And Aladini said, yes, yes, he does. It is completely as per his will. If he wishes, he does come in people's dreams. And then her mother-in-law said, you know what, the previous night, yesterday, Swami came in my dream and he was wearing a white robe. And I saw that Swami was asking you to bring a photograph of him in white robe for the puja, to keep it in the puja room. So she sees this dream when Swami is telling her that she should ask Aladini to get a photo for the puja. And so her mother-in-law said that, you know, so what I did was I immediately kept a photo of Sai Baba, which my husband had given me. It was there in the puja room. So this photo, it was earlier not in the puja room, but the husband had a small photo, so I just immediately brought that. And for the time being, I kept it in the puja room. But this is what Swami actually told. So please, you bring the photo of Swami wearing that white robe, because this is what Bhagwan told me in the dream. Imagine the extent to which Swami goes to look after little thoughts, little wishes, little sacred desires. When he said that, I am your spiritual mother, I will look after you emotionally, morally, spiritually. This is how Bhagwan so beautifully gave her this experience to Aladini, Sucharita's daughter. Again and again, that song that her mom had composed, Sundarama, grandmom had composed, come to our mind, where Swami says, it is only to fill us with the bliss of you responding to our slightest of thoughts that you came in this physical form, isn't it, Lord? And there are so many such lovely memories, lovely instances where Swami strengthened the faith of every member of this family, which was blessed to conduct bhajans, start akhanda bhajans, start the tradition of bhajan singing in Bengaluru way back in the 40s. And in those days, before bhajan singing became a tradition, they used to sing lovely songs, and some of these songs were later recorded, and it is available as Sri Sathya Sai Geetamulu, because these were the beautiful songs that Swami loved to listen. Let us soak in the joy of one of these songs before we move on to some more lovely anecdotes from the 50s. So that was just one sample, just to give a flavor of the 1940s and 50s. So recalling one more instance from those years. Shrimati C. Sucharita writes in Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti, in the late 50s they were at Mysuru, and as a teenager she had dreamt big about her future, and her father had supported her very well. She had a particular dream in her mind, but somehow that dream never happened. Her imagination, whatever she had thought about, somehow that did not fructify, and she was very shattered. Her father also was disappointed. Her father had tried to support her in her dream, but somehow that didn't happen. And now, as a little one, she felt it is Swami who should be responsible for this, because God is responsible for everything that happens to individuals, both good and bad. Why did this negative thing happen to me? So in a fit of anger, she held Swami alone responsible for her bad luck, and she thought it is only Swami who made this. She had no courage to express these feelings to parents or siblings, but she used to have this conversation with Swami. She would lock herself up in a room and she would express all her suppressed anger to Swami in front of his photo. She very strongly felt that Swami wanted, he could have done it, and Swami did not make it happen for her. Somehow with time she reconciled, and she pretended as if nothing has happened and got into her routine. In 2 weeks, she got a seat for doing her bachelor's in sciences with honors degree in botany in Bangalore. So she came to Bangalore. She had to stay in her uncle's house for some time. The parents needed 2 months to wind up their house and come to Bangalore. They needed to close their house and everything in Mysore. And when she was in Bangalore, she learned that Swami has come to Bangalore, and Swami is in Mr. Vasan's house in Kumara Park Extension. This was 1958. So she went to Mr. Vasan's house one afternoon to have Swami's darshan. And she went there with her two aunts. And she was waiting for Swami to come out. There's not many people around. Slowly the door opened and Bhagwan emerged, and she saw that Swami was not smiling. It was a little unusual, because generally the door opens and Swami would come out, you know, very cheerful, and he would spread so much joy. But that day it was little unusual. So she was wondering why is Swami like this, and Swami actually came straight to her, and there was a stern look on Bhagwan's face. And when Swami came near her, the first thing Swami said is, "Have you finished? It is all over? Or do you still have anything left?" And she was wondering, what is Swami saying? She blinked. She looked at Swami very innocently. But Swami was still that angry face, and very sternly Swami said, "Why did you take it on me? What did I do?" And still she was clueless. She was still not sure what is Swami referring to. And absolutely ignorant and not getting it, she said, "Swami, what Swami? What are you saying, Swami?" And Swami said, now very seriously, "Why did you accuse me? Why did you accuse me? What did I have to do with your outburst?" Swami said. Only when Swami mentioned that, she realized, oh my God, 2 weeks ago, I had poured all my anger on Swami and held him responsible for my bad luck, and I thought nobody knows. Swami was in Parthi I was in a little room in Mysore all by myself. I had poured all my anguish within the four walls of my room. Not a soul had any idea about what had happened. But here is Swami. He does not need any words to know what is going on in our thoughts. And tears ran down her cheeks. And he said, Swami, I made a mistake. Swami, please excuse me. Please pardon me. And that was one lesson she got about how you cannot say whatever you want to Swami and get away with it. Swami looked straight into her eyes and Swami said, you have to practice patience. Avoid getting into anger like this. When you get angry, you actually lose control over your tongue. In fact, later on you will regret all your life for those words you spoke during that enraged state. And Swami nicely explained, look Bangaru, learn to practice forbearance. It will do you a lot of good. So here was Swami explaining the 8-9 year old, learn to practice patience, learn to practice forbearance, don't get into anger. You will lose control over yourself when you get anger, and later you will be very sorry for what you said when you were in that infuriated state. And the girl Sucharita fell at Bhagwan's feet, and Swami lovingly raised her and said, get up, get up. Never again do this. Remember, I am watching you always. Remember, I am watching you always. So it is these moments with Swami which so solidly reinforced in the members of this sacred family, Sundaramma, Sucharita, Vidyuleka, Aladini, how you can never even dream of doing anything away from the Lord's eyes, and how you should never get angry no matter what the situation, and how you should be very careful of what you speak even if you are doing it in your mind. Then on it became a prayer for Sucharita to always seek Bhagwan's help so that we never fall into the trap of anger. Never lose patience. There's so many instances by which Swami encouraged the children. In fact, in one of the Namavalis that the children used to sing in those days, two lines were very prominent. Sulabha Prasanna Sairam, Sumadhura Bhasha Sairam. Sairam is one who is easily pleased, and Sairam is one who speaks so sweetly. There are so many instances that this family can relate to, wherein they experience the sweetness of Bhagwan, and how they saw Swami gets pleased with little things. One afternoon, three sisters, they were enjoying singing songs of Bhagwan, Sucharita and her sisters. Their mothers had written so many songs. In fact, Sundaramma and Sharadamma, both their sisters, were called by Swami Patala Mailu, means these sisters who sing songs. So all these three sisters who were cousins, they were going through these songs and they're singing away to glory. They were enjoying, and suddenly they had this idea. Why don't we also compose a song? Why shouldn't we write a song of our own? And then they thought, okay, let us do this. So sincerely they wanted to write a new song, but they didn't have no idea about the lyric tune. How do we do it? But they definitely wanted to do it. In those days, they had no exposure. There was no TV. The only thing they had a little exposure to was radio. And on Sunday afternoon, there used to be a children's program on radio called Bombarilu. And these children used to listen to that program on the radio, and in that there was one title song of that program, Podama Ika Podama. This was the line, Indilaku Ippudu Podama. This was one line which meant that, shall we go back home now? Shall we go back home now? The program is getting over. So this was one of the lines in that normal regular program which was played on the radio. And now these children thought, okay, this is a nice line. Why don't we take this line and then we change it, we suit it to what we want to convey and make that as the basis and compose our own song. So these three sisters worked on it and they made that song, Podama, Ika Podama, Parthi Puri Podama. So they modified it. Yes, yes, let's go, let's go, let's go to Puttaparthi. Bhajanalu, Poojanu, Poojalu, Abhishekumbulu, Kannulanda, Chustama. So they said, you know, let us go to Puttaparthi. Bhajans, pujas, abhishekams, shall we see with our own eyes, with devotion let us do bhajans and then we will return. We will see Swami who will fill us with many leelas. Parthi Puri ki yavrostaru, who will come to Puttaparthi? Let us all go to Puttaparthi. Let us not delay, let us not delay, let us all go to Puttaparthi. So in their own innocence they had written this song. And they were very happy. They sang with all the fervor. They were very satisfied. They ran to the mother and proudly presented their feet that they had composed a song, and with all pride and all. And the mother, Sundaramma, was very happy, appreciated very heartily the maiden effort of, you know, these little girls. And everyone was very happy. And at the end of it, you know, they had actually composed a song. So they happily slept over it. Pretty soon it was summer vacation. And now all of them came to Parthi to stay with Bhagwan for 3 to 4 weeks. It was an enjoyable Parthi stay in two ways. Firstly, the crowd at that point in time was not much, so they had great moments of proximity with Swami. And secondly, the bhajan sessions were so enjoyable. Swami used to sit for long hours and everybody had chance to sing. And it was in those days the chance wherein you could also offer Pada Puja to Swami before they left. The final day they can actually worship Bhagwan's feet, and the elders of the family had made it a custom to wash Swami's feet with rose water, and they used to collect that water in bottles and bring it back home. In fact, that water used to become medicine for all the illnesses. In fact, all of them used to drink that water and all their illnesses used to vanish. The water of Pada Puja, water of worshipping the feet of the Lord. And so, being with Swami, singing for Swami, worshipping His feet, all those moments were so cherished moments for all of them. Young and old, everyone enjoyed being with Bhagwan. And the Pada Puja used to be offered to Swami in the room directly opposite to the interview room. And in fact, that room used to be called the Pada Puja room. So after staying for 3 to 3.5 weeks, when they had planned to return to Bangalore, so one Thursday before the return, Swami permitted the family to do the Pada Puja as they used to get this opportunity very often in those days. And so preparations went on. The Pada Puja was to be offered around bhajan time. And those days, morning bhajan used to start at 11 a.m. So their group, comprising of Sharadamma, Sundaramma and all the siblings, 4 sisters and only brother, all of them were there with Bhagwan in the Pada Puja room with all the puja articles. Swami came into the room, Swami sat on the chair, and so Sucharita's mother and aunt, Sundaramma, Sharadamma, they started the puja and they started singing traditional songs adoring the feet of the Lord. Things like Brahma Kadigina Padamu. These are the songs that you definitely sing as you wash the feet of the Lord. And so Sucharita's sister Dwaraka, youngest sister, she was standing, almost leaning onto Swami's chair, and in her own childish way she told Swami, Swami, these 3 sisters, they have composed a song on you, Swami. The little one just told the other 3 sisters they have composed a song. And all the other 3 sisters started looking at each other. They didn't know what to say because it was just a childish kind of adventure that they had embarked upon. And The moment Swami heard that, Swami abruptly asked Sundaramma Sharadamma to stop. And he said, sing. What is that you have composed? Sing that song for me. And all these little children, they didn't know what to do because they never thought the baby actually sings in front of Swami. It was just something they had done on their own during the vacation just to spend time thinking about Swami. But Swami now insisted, no, you have to sing. So the children now, fortunately, they remembered the lyrics and Swami heard that entire song. Swami was so happy. Swami said, Chala bagundi, Santosham. Swami was very happy. Swami said, I'm very happy. And once the song was over, all the children felt relieved that, you know, their little effort, innocent effort, actually had pleased the Lord. And once the puja got over, you know, they went to the Prashanti Mandir main hall where the formal bhajans was going to start. And after everyone sat down, Swami looked at these little children. And then Swami looked at the main bhajan singers, both on the ladies and the gents side. And then Swami said, all of you just stop the bhajans for a while. Bhajan koncham aapandi, Swami said. All of you just stop the bhajans. And everyone was surprised. And Swami said, no, this pillalu selavaku vacharu kada. Varu oka paata rachinchi techinaru. These children, they have come for vacation, no? They have actually composed a song. Come on children, padandi, all of you. Children, sing that song, Swami said. The song which Swami had just heard in the Pada Puja room. And all the children, they started singing that same childish song, Podama, Podama. And Swami was so happy. He again enjoyed that song as if he was listening it for the first time. He was thrilled. He said, very nice, very good. And after the children had sang to the heart's content, Swami said, okay, now you continue bhajans, regular bhajans. So imagine the encouragement that Swami was giving to these innocent hearts when they had come up with something just out of their pure, innocent love for him. And that is what Swami is always interested in. He is interested only in what comes from the depth of our being. He notices it. He encourages it. He rewards it. And when it is children, the experience is something else. And all the children, they did not know what to say. They said, thank you, Swami. That is how Swami encouraged all those sacred qualities in these children way back in the 40s and 50s. I'm sharing this from the lovely book written by Srimati C. Sucharita entitled Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti. In fact, she has so beautifully penned how Swami used to encourage. Earlier I have shared with you how Swami encouraged little ones to start praying, have this as a morning routine. Here you heard how Swami encouraged the little ones to compose and sing. And then I also shared with you how Swami taught her to never be angry on God, to always have faith, to always know that the Lord is watching you, to have Him as your father, as your mother, as your parent, and to know that He will take care of you. So these are those lovely moments of being with Swami in the 40s and 50s. Truly they are Madhura Smritis. They are moments which are dipped in nectar. There are so many such instances, and perhaps in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, I'll share with you a few more lovely moments of being with Swami in those days. Really fortunate are those who had the opportunity and the blessing to be with Him during that time, and not only just be with Him, know Him as divine, to have that faith that He was indeed the omniscient, omnipotent one. Those were, in fact, this family has been blessed in such a profound manner, right from Sijigali Rao, you have Sundaramma, you had the same family, Padmanabhan sir and Geeta Mohan Ram, and you're going to listen to the next part of our conversation with Manibhasham Aunty, Samantaka Manibhasham Aunty, which will release tomorrow, the video wherein she sings some of these lovely songs that Swami used to love to listen way back in those yester years, those Chitravati years, those years before the Prashantinilaya Mandir came into being or just come into being. And these are those moments which, when you ruminate upon, which you contemplate upon again and again, it fills you with so much sacredness that it lifts you to that plane of heaven, of being with Sai. Let us learn these little lessons that Bhagwan has given to us through the experiences of such blessed souls and walk on the path with joy, with fun, and with all spirit of knowing Him, loving Him, and one day becoming one with Him. I leave you with another beautiful song of that era. These are the melodies that captivated the Lord's heart in those lovely times, yesteryears, in the 40s and 50s. Thank you so much. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can send us your feedback to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with us through this lovely satsang.
Namo Sai Deva Jaya Jaya Namo Prema Bhava. Namo